exactly?
I'm still confused by your question.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
The question is why? That's it. Just why?
I'm still confused by your question.
It's a one-word question, Kyle. Why?
You going Nancy Kerrigan on me?
Yes.
Why? Why?
It's actually a good impression of what my daughter looks like when the Niners lose.
Why?
By the way, she gets mad at me, and maybe I'm just different around the family because I can really, like, I could let it loose. I can let my guard down a little bit
because
it's my fam. But you know how y'all see me as, like, just Mr. Blue Sky, Homer Dopey guy.
Milk and cookies. Aw, shucks, aw, darn.
I'm talking to the kids the other day, and I'm like, and not looking good. Dad, do you think they'll make the playoffs? Right?
No, go to your room.
Come over here and sit down on this park bench and let me talk to you about it. No.
Wow.
I don't. Now, I'm not saying they can't. I'm not even really saying they won't. I'm saying that if you're going to force me into a prediction of yes or no, probably not. Like, that's just an analytics play. They've got an incredibly hard schedule.
Second hardest in football.
They have not beaten a good team all year. They are incredibly injured. They are underwhelming and underperforming. So ask me if I think that they'll go 5-2 in their next 7 games. No, I don't. They can.
They're allowed to.
They're allowed to.
Yeah, I'm sure you tell them that.
But she doesn't like that answer. Dad, you have to believe.
Right.
I'm like, well, I don't have to believe. She always harkens back to halftime of the Lions game.
She brought you back.
She did. Because she was at home doing stuff, and she wanted to get picked up at halftime. And I'll never forget the line I said to her. She hopped in the car. She's like, how's it going? I'm like, really bad. Really bad. She's like, how bad? It's 24-7. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go watch the second half. We're going to have a good time. But I do think probably should start getting mentally prepared for the idea that the 49ers are not going to the Super Bowl this year. And she got mad.
Yeah, she did.
Whoa.
Yeah. The real positive member of the family.
No. You are not allowed to think that way. And then she sat there peacocking throughout the second half as the Niners started coming back. But you know what? That's part of the why. That's my why. My why question is, why does this year not feel like last year? And we all know a lot of the stock answers. You just threw them out. But I do wonder, what are the ones that resonate the most with you? What resonates the most with when we just ask why? Why are they not as good as last year?
Yeah, it's my answer. The simple answer is because they are sloppy. And they're sloppy when it counts the most. Their special teams are sloppy. They've given up big plays that have allowed teams to hang in or turn games around. And in general, your offense is kind of sloppy. You make a lot of foolish mistakes. You commit penalties at the wrong time. You end up behind the sticks. And your red zone offense is completely ineffective. And I know that we didn't have McCaffrey. And now he's been back for a couple of games. And it's been slightly better in the red zone over the last two. And I'm looking at the last three where you are 60%. And you're 48.8 on the year, so 60 is still not what you were last year, which is 68% touchdown percentage in the red zone. It's getting better, but still, you are woefully below where you should be.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of how we see all things, right? We see them through the lens of what we thought they were going to be. You could have a good movie, but if you thought it was going to be great, you kind of walk out of there and you're like, eh, wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. And that's kind of how I see the 49ers this year. They're a good movie, but we thought they were going to be great, so we're kind of like, eh, you're not really doing much for us. And my answer would be personnel. The personnel is not as good. Now, I'm going to say that in a couple of ways. Don't mistake that to mean injuries. That's part of it, but there are also players who are playing who aren't as good. Brock Purdy, Trent Williams, and by the way, the last five games, Fred Warner. Charvarius Ward, and I hate saying that because, my God, our hearts go out to him. But prior to that happening, he wasn't as good. And who knows? Maybe that had something to do with what was developing at home.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So that's not a criticism. My heart goes out to the guy. But the personnel is not as good. You know, Dre Greenlaw's not there. McCaffrey was largely not there. Ayuk is largely not there. There are a bunch of reasons. Injuries is one of the answers, but not all of them. But I just think it's that. I think we're watching this team with last year's personnel as our measuring stick. And they're not that.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
You guys have mentioned Brock Purdy scheduled to talk today down in Santa Clara. He is not speaking at the podium as he does every Thursday of game week. And as of right now, he is nowhere to be found in the locker room as the locker room is made available to the press. So no Brock Purdy at the podium today, as has happened every game week on Thursdays this year.
What's your take?
It's kind of what I was alluding to in the last hour that if I'm Brock and I'm the Niners and I've got a guy coming off a shaky's too harsh, but coming off a loss, coming off a game where he didn't play great, and coming off a week of practice where he's been limited, he didn't throw yesterday, today he threw and then left, I'm not putting him out there. No way. So for me, this is a no-brainer from an organizational standpoint. Even if Brock wants to go out there and talk, there's nothing that can come out of today that helps him or helps them. So I'm not surprised at all.
I look at it differently. I think Brandon Allen is starting on Sunday.
Man, but it's possible. I think it's more of a possibility in light of this than I would have thought yesterday when he didn't throw it all.
Why this, by the way, Grandy? Did you see the San Francisco 49ers Twitter feed 25 minutes ago posted a video, and it is titled Nick Sorensen, Chris Forster, and Brock Purdy address the media ahead of the game.
That's just, I would imagine, just what they scheduled, like, ahead of time.
Scheduled tweet.
And Sorensen and Forster did talk, as always, but Purdy did not follow. We've got people here that work at the station and were there in the room.
Oh, I believe and, you. And it's not that I don't
Everyone
I don't
has
believe
left
you.
The auditorium.
Yeah. And that's a great read on a scheduled tweet, because I know that you guys back there do a lot of that, where, you know, you get stuff that's going to be scheduled, like Warrior-related stuff, where, hey, don't miss, you know, Warriors Live with Mark Grandy, and you schedule it so that it launches and you don't even have to worry about it in the moment. And so, yeah, I'm sure this is one of those, and they didn't go in there and delete it, nor do they have to. But, yeah, he did not address the media ahead of GB versus SF. So, there you have it.
Not good.
No, not good.
Not good.
And I won't go as far as you just did. You're allowed to, and say that Brandon Allen will start on Sunday. I do think that today, not having him talk is a reaction to the fact that he's been limited in practice two straight days, and he's coming off a game where he didn't necessarily play great. So I think all of that, and this gives you an out. If he leaves practice early, then you could tell the league, well, he was just back getting treatment. He didn't even finish practice, so we're not going to break up his treatment to get him in front of the microphone.
Understood. What I'm saying is by far from ink. I'm not like, I don't know. Just my...
It was a prediction by
that's
you.
That's my gut, is that when you've got somebody who starts the week as either limited or we're kind of tiptoeing our way into the practice week, which is what the Niners did with Brock. Let's have him out there, limited session, but not throw. And then the next day, he goes out there to throw, and he leaves in the middle of practice and does not throw when the media is present, and then does not go to his press conference, and he's got one more practice left before playing in 40-degree weather in Wisconsin. I would argue that the ramp-up plan for this week has been derailed. And therefore, I would put it, let me rephrase, I put it at less than 50-50 that Brock's going to play this weekend.
Yeah, that's...
That's my guess.
Well, and the best way to really know about where you're putting the odds is the actual odds themselves. And as we get into tomorrow, and you get more of an indication from the experts, the gambling experts, because they're going to know before anybody knows.
Well, now, is it off the board?
I don't know. Let me
go
take
right
a look.
Now, but, yeah. Let's take a look right now.
Well, if it's off the board, that's a real scare.
Yes, it is.
Because then they're just waiting to figure out where they repost it when they get official word. I see it on ESPN at 3. Green Bay minus
wow,
3.
Wow, that's a bump. That's an immediate, at least half to 1-point bump. in Green no Bay's doubt. Favor than what it was before the show.
And I'd have to track the line movement based on the timeline of it, but you know, the Nick Bosa thing too is still a question mark as far as whether or not he's going to play. And now you got Brock Purdy, and so yeah. I wish I would have gotten it Green Bay -1.5 as we talked about on Monday.
Yeah.
When that thing got posted.
I'm searching. I don't see it.
You see it as off in your little online thing?
Oh, no. Okay, there it is. It has bumped a half point though from what it was an hour and a half ago. It's now I'm seeing it as Packers favored by 2.5.
Yep. Okay.
But they were favored by 2 on this site an hour and a half ago.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. Well, stay tuned to 95.7 The Game for all the late breaking updates on the status of Brock Purdy.
Have we got anybody on the scene who has sort of like, I don't know. They had to have asked the people who were there if Brock wasn't there. There's got to be a vibe going on. Lucas, what's Hutch doing? What's Hutch doing right now?
He couldn't make it to practice today.
Okay. All right. Well, let's call some people who did. We'll get on the phone here. And because I'd love for somebody to jump in here and sort of maybe help translate this for us based on what it actually looked like at practice and what the organization is saying right now. 888-957-9570 is the number. In addition to that, we will also in a half hour be talking to Ramona Shelburne and Jonathan Kuminga, who only played 15 minutes last night, and two of them were in garbage time, is going to be central to that that conversation. So that's coming up around the bend as well. Mason Crosby, the former Packers kicker, is a couple hours away. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. It's Willard and Dibbs.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, if you're just joining us, the breaking news of the last 10-15 minutes or so is that Brock Purdy, who went out to throw today in practice and then left halfway through the session, will not speak to reporters. Thursday is the day that the starting quarterback speaks to reporters. Now, Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs will not speak to the media either. No quarterback will. And so the only way we can translate that now, I think, Dibs, is to say that the 49ers right now don't know who their quarterback is going to be on Sunday.
Right. Their starter couldn't make it through a practice, which happened yesterday too. He didn't throw. Today he tried to throw. He went through a couple of sessions and then he stopped throwing. And I would imagine he stopped throwing because the shoulder wasn't feeling great. And so he goes off the field and Allen and Dobbs finish up the session as QB1 and QB2 for the day. And then you go into the locker room and you don't know the status. And so you're not just going to throw Brock out there coming off an injured practice, a Wednesday limited, a Thursday he didn't complete. And so you don't really know. How can you know until you see what Brock looks like tomorrow? And when he comes in tomorrow for the last practice before you, you know, get into your Saturday walkthrough and get ready for the game, you'll know tomorrow when he walks in if he's going to be able to get ready and go or if you're going to have to go to plan B.
The Niners told reporters on the scene that Brock is in the middle of receiving treatment on the shoulder, and so will not make the press conference. They did not say specifically, we don't know who our quarterback's going to be, but that Brock needed treatment. Now, it's interesting, because 24 hours ago, Brock was at practice in a, quote, limited fashion, but did not throw. And Kyle Shanahan was asked, what's your concern level? This is what he said yesterday.
Not much right now. See how this week goes, but you know, it's limited today, so I think that's good news.
Okay, do you remember we went through this yesterday? We went through this yesterday, and I feel like there's three ways that could have been answered, and Kyle answered it the middle way. There's the, no, not concerned about it at all. Then there's the, no, there's some concern. He's pretty sore in there. Now, he ends up saying, it's a good sign. He went through a limited portion, but I'm focused on the first 2 seconds of this bite. Are you concerned about Brock?
Not much right now. See how this week goes, but you know, it's limited today, so I think that's good news.
That and pause to me, and I remember saying this to you yesterday, that and pause meant there's a thought that went through his head at least of like, I'm not 100% sure.
Right. And he ums a lot. He starts most of his answers with a good, healthy
But not a pause.
And an
not
occasional as well. But
yeah, anyway.
The and the pause, you're right. Really? And then but then he goes on to say, no, not that much today. And by today, he means Wednesday. And so,
said, we'll see how tomorrow goes.
And today didn't go well.
It did not go well.
It didn't go well because he was unable to go out there and actually complete a session. And if it is Brandon Allen, his last start was January 9th, 2022. So we're coming up on almost 3 years since he started a football game. He was a Bengals, and he took on Cleveland in the last game of the year. And he went 15-29 for a $1.36.
How'd it go? Who won the game?
They lost. Cleveland beat Cincinnati. But that was the last time he started. He started one game in 2021. And since then, he's been a backup and a backup who doesn't play. I mean, wow. You go into Green Bay with, even if Nick Bosa plays, he's dealing with a couple of obliques. And if you have your backup quarterback and you're already down your wide receiver and your top tight end is coming back off an injury, that's a big ask to go in there and get this done.
Lucas, will you take down the tweet that you sent where I said that this is the biggest game in Brock Purdy's career? Just take it down.
He's getting a lot of interaction.
Yeah, I know.
Leave it up.
He's not even going to play.
We don't know that.
There's a good chance.
Failure.
There's a chance.
I mean, actually, you know what? Keep it up. Keep it up, because here's why. Here's why. Ready for the new radio host take? It is the biggest game of Brock Purdy's career, because if Brandon Allen goes out there and wins it, watch what happens to the conversation the next week.
Quarterback controversy.
Hey! You mean Brandon Allen can go beat Green Bay?
He's system quarterback.
But Brocky Poo can't even beat a divisional opponent.
No.
But Brandon Allen can go to Lambeau and win a game?
Well, the other side of it is Brandon Allen goes there and he stinks to high heaven, mm-hmm. and you get motorboated. Then you look at Brock Purdy and you go, yeah, turns out, Brock, you're the man.
I'll tell you this. Like, I'll give you an example of what you're talking about right now. To me, is the Miami Dolphins. I thought this year, like, no quarterback has shown his value more than Tua. Tua's making $52 million, or that was the new contract. And a lot of people were like, damn, Tua? Is Tua actually that good? I don't know where Tua sits in the framework of the whole NFL. I certainly know where he sits in the Dolphins quarterback room. Good God, the team can't even move the ball 4 yards without him. But when he's in there, they're a legitimate team. They play football and score touchdowns and the whole bit. But Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, you took Tua out and the two of them were looking at each other like, do you want to go get a bite to eat? Like, there's no point in us even being on the field. So Tua really showed his value. And sure, that could happen too. That could happen too. Maybe the 49ers won't even get a first down this week in Green Bay.
Yeah, that might be a little dramatic, but you're right. I mean, if Brandon Allen comes in after almost 3 years of inactivity as a starter, January of 2022, so you're talking about a full 34 months since he started, and this is different than Sam Darnold, too. I mean, Sam Darnold's better than Brandon Allen, and even Darnold didn't get a chance to start last year until the last game of the year, and he was okay. Wasn't that great. Didn't even really matter.
Not even a real football game.
Right. It was twos against twos.
That was a preseason football
game. No doubt. And so this game is a little bit more of a real football game where Green Bay is playing for a lot themselves because, you know, they're starting to feel a little bit of footsteps behind them in the wild card.
I can't believe this year.
It's not over.
No, I didn't say it was. I just can't believe this year. I mean, I can.
I totally can.
Because this is the way stuff goes.
And if you wouldn't have blown games, it wouldn't matter. Honestly, if they were 7-3 right now.
That's a fair point.
If they were 7-3 and this story came and Grandy hit the breaking news sounder, a lot of us would say, you know what? If you're not 100%, sit this game out. You're 7-3. You got a little wiggle room.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, you don't want to play around with conference games and you'd rather be the number one seed and blah, blah, blah. But if you're not 100%, but you're 7-3 with a one game cushion on Arizona and the tiebreaker because you wouldn't have lost to them, you'd be feeling different. But 5-5, yeah, this becomes a huge deal.
Well, I just like, again, go back to, for instance, not even just training camp. Go back to when the schedule comes out, and I know you do it tongue-in-cheek, but when we play this stupid win-loss game, like, you have no clue what the hell is about to unfold. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this pile of coal in the stocking that we got this year. And again, I'm not calling the year over. Brandon Allen, because I just checked, is allowed to go win the game, and I don't even know if he's playing. But if he plays and the Niners go out and lose by 10 to 14 points in this football game, I'm going to sit there like, to me, that's throw your hands up time. That's throw your hands up time. Where you're just like, my God, my God. Like, I don't know. Did you, what's the bad luck thing? Under a ladder or something with a mirror?
Yeah, broken mirror.
Black cat.
Swallowing gum.
I mean, what the hell?
Yep.
What the hell happened this year? Well, of all the years, you know, Tom Brady going, there's no such thing as a Super Bowl hangover. I agree with him, but good Lord, there's something going on. There's something going on. A lot of it is self-inflicted. A lot of it is not. But damn, how would you answer it if I asked you this year? So far, what's gone right for the 49ers?
What's gone right for
what
the Niners?
What has gone well?
Juwan Jennings has gone well.
That's a great question.
Thank you, okay.
George Kittle's gone really well.
Anybody want to weigh in on that?
Fred Warner's been great.
He was. First half.
First half, he was otherworldly.
He was DPOY.
Right.
Last
he's
five
still
games,
been really good.
Not according to numbers.
Well, depends on what numbers you want to look at. Numbers are numbers.
How about just give me your eyes and your heart? How many plays?
Numbers
Fred,
are numbers. And numbers are numbers.
But give me, Fred, last five games, what stands out?
What stands out is he's...
Give me the play that you remember.
Oh, there's not a marquee play, but it doesn't mean he's not playing pretty well. He's not playing as well as he did the first five games.
I saw a stat.
A linebacker especially is really reliant on the guys in front of him.
No doubt.
Because if they don't do anything, then the offensive linemen are going to get to Fred Warner, and now he's neutralized.
But Fred is also a great coverage linebacker. And I'm going to check this because I don't know for sure. I saw this on a social media post that in the last 30 passes thrown against Fred Warner in coverage, do you know how many of them were completed? Last 30 passes.
Probably 20.
30.
All 30. 30 for 30.
All of them.
Man,
like a
ESPN.
Documentary. Exactly. So, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know that Fred Warner is playing well the last five games. It's fine. He doesn't stand out as being a liability. But I don't know if he's playing well. And it lines up right with when he got hurt. Like there's also that. I don't think he's playing at 100%. I don't think he's himself. And that's what I'm getting at. You know, sure, we can name, like, if that's what you can name, what's gone right for the 49ers this year? And the best thing we can do is come up with a couple of names. Juwan Jennings, but like...
Well, you told me yesterday that their offense has been great. All those numbers about
I did not use the word great. Not once, not ever, not...
Well, the numbers would indicate that they are great because they're... And you mentioned they're top 10 in like these all 10 of these things.
They're still effective, except for apparently when it really, really matters.
When it comes to scoring points.
When it comes to the red zone or the fourth quarter or the third down or the whatever. Like, again, it is
good on third down on offense.
I know, but they're also really good at shooting themselves in the foot. They commit a lot of key penalties in key moments. They do that. They have a lot of come-from-ahead losses. I don't think they've got any come-from-behind wins. So
no, they haven't had to.
So all of their, you know, the only thing that I would give them in terms of sort of a close victory, I guess, is Tampa Bay. But at the same time, that was totally self-inflicted that game was close.
That was a fourth quarter comeback.
Sure, you're right.
Tampa scored 30 seconds into the quarter to take the lead.
They did, and then the Niners came back, and then they coughed that up, and Jake Moody and all the misses and the fight on the side. We remember all of it. But I'm not going to walk out of that giving them applause for their fourth quarter. Like, yes, it is still an effective team in terms of their stats, their movement, their effectiveness up and down the field for good portions of the game. But that hasn't really netted you anything. When's the game? Give me the game they won where you're like, "Woo, got away with one there. Probably shouldn't have won that. The other team outplayed you." No. If the other team outplays you, you lose. And if you outplay the other team, you still might lose.
Well, you should win, but you haven't.
No, like this year, would you agree with this? The Niners have been outplayed twice, and they're 0-2.
Yeah, clearly.
Okay.
Minnesota and Kansas City.
And in the other eight games, they outplayed the opponent, and they're 5-3.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's football. And that's what Kyle talked about.
When, last year.
You know, it comes down to the final four possessions of a game, and if it's close, you got to be better than the other team, and they haven't been better than the other team. And that to me is, that goes beyond like bad luck or snake bit or the rest of it. You just haven't closed, and you've had your guys not close. You've had your reserves not close. You've had coaches make mistakes. You've had special teams errors. You as a team, as an organization, you have not closed out games. So, yeah, we can look at the fact that maybe they're a little snake bit and you didn't have RB1 for the majority of the year and you lost your top wide receiver in game number 5 or game number 6. And all that's football. And you can look at most every other team and they're suffering the same kind of deal.
Couple things I'd like to throw out there that have been reported by those who were on the scene today as the 49er press conference with Brock Purdy got canceled. Tim Kawakami wrote, "Bit of an odd mood in the Niners locker room today," which is understandable based on all of the questions. So there was that. And then, okay. Oh, Mike Silver, when a 49er player has an injury to his arm or leg, the organization often behaves as though his larynx is also impaired. That's kind of normal, though. Teams don't have injured people speak.
Yeah.
That's totally normal.
And I believe they've moved the quarterback availability to tomorrow. So from what I read from some of the tweets and some of the people who are down there, that the quarterback who's going to start against Green Bay will speak tomorrow. So maybe we find out at that point who it's going to be.
And then also they said, you know, like Brock Purdy didn't just skip the press conference, but he was not in the locker room at all during the period where the media was present.
Right. He's in the training room,
yep,
which you don't have access to. And I do believe that when he walked off the field and he went and saw the trainers and they probably looked at it and realized whatever they already know about the injury and they went right to trying to treat it. Whether it's, you know, giving him the stimulator to try to work on the muscle, or if it's ice, if there's inflammation, who knows what it is. Shoulder soreness is one that is so vague so as to make it so you can't even really speculate, right? It could be a number of different things. Shoulder soreness. Is it just arm fatigue? Does he need to skip a start? Like a baseball pitcher, you know?
I do not think that. You're not walking out of the middle of practice because of fatigue. I wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think so either.
This feels more like an actual injury to me.
Well, and if it is an actual injury, and then we can go back to the game film against Seattle, and we can start to think about when it might have happened. And you actually said it on Monday, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and it might have been the throw where his hand got hit, and you know that might have jarred his shoulder. And not to make excuses or to give reasons, because I know those are two touch points, but that throw to Debo on the last drive where they looked to kill the clock, that might have been shoulder-related. If the shoulder was already hurt and he wasn't able to really go through that throw and rip it,
for sure,
because that throw looks a little bit like a short arm, and he kind of half-armed it, and that ball just sailed out of his hand.
Also could have aggravated something that was already going on.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
He has not been letting it rip. He's not been letting it rip. He's not been throwing it downfield. Okay, 888-957-9570. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN is going to join us in 10 minutes. Can we pivot a little bit? Because I could tell you what one of the number one things that we want to get to with Ramona is this question. What does the league think of Jonathan Kuminga? I know what we think. I think we've got a pretty good finger on the pulse of what most of you think. I'm sure there's 100 different opinions. I'm not saying that. But I think we can gather the majority opinion. When a player is homegrown and when a player is exciting and when a player starts getting a chance at improving, that fan base wraps their arms around him. And so everybody's rooting for Jonathan. There is some frustration surrounding Jonathan based on A, Some feeling he deserves even more of an opportunity and more playing time. But then B, sort of his inability to really like grab whatever opportunities he has and really seize them and really look like the guy that you kind of want him to look like if he's going to get $35 or $40 million a year and be a long-term Warrior. Like, what do you think right now? What do you think of Jonathan Kuminga?
I think that he is a good player with a great upside and a guy who can go on and be a great NBA player somewhere. Not here, somewhere.
Why not here?
Because the way this team plays, and I believe that they're going to play this way as long as Steve Kerr is here, it is anathema or counter to what he does best. What this team does is bibbidi-bobbidi-boop, zip-zip-zip, run-pass, dribble-penetrate, kick-and-pass, catch-and-shoot, pass-and-shoot, run-and-throw, and what he does best is, I have the ball, I'm about to break you down, and I've got moves, I've got shots, and I'm really good. I can go over you, I can go around you, I can go through you, I can even shoot the three a little bit, but I'm going to need the ball and me, and I'm going to need to cook that way. I don't think that he can cook the way this team likes to cook.
Yeah. I feel like so much of what I'm watching him do is forced. That's the vibe from it. It doesn't mean it's bad. Sometimes it works out. I do think he has moments where he really pops off the screen, or if you're at the game, obviously he's just an athletic freak. So there's things that he can do that the Warriors really need. But the bottom line for me is too much of what he does feels forced. And I also think the Warriors this particular season really have a focus on playing fast, and Jonathan Kuminga does not play fast, which is weird because he's fast.
Right.
But do you know what I mean by that?
He does play fast, but he plays like, I want the ball, and then I'm going to do what I do.
Yeah, like too many times when the ball gets to his hands, I do actually see there's a hesitation. Am I going to drive?
Yeah.
Yep, I'm going to break someone down. And the second you do that, to me, the possession is over, especially a Warriors possession. I also see still too many turnovers on that are, you know, part of his doing. And by the way, when those happen, like, again, he's fast, but boy, he's having a hard time on defense catching people from behind when they're flying right by him right now. I think his defense was getting better. It has not been a great couple of weeks for his defense. And so I have questions about the fit.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I have questions. And I, you know, so much of our show is you all reacting to stuff that we're saying. We could kind of tweak that a little bit here. Ramona's going to join us in 5 minutes, but we'd really love to hear from you with just that open-ended question. What do you think of Jonathan Kuminga? And then you can just take that wherever you want. I know there's Warrior fans who are he's their favorite guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Favorite guy. And all kinds of optimism sent his way. But what did we get last night outside of garbage time? 13 minutes?
Yep.
And it was fairly good, those right. 13 minutes.
It was great.
What was it, Grandy, what was Steve's response after the game in terms of why he didn't play more?
I can play it for you. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Here it is.
Just read the game, and you know every game is going to be different. So we've got a very deep team. As we know, we're committed to playing 12 guys every night. We just find groups that click, and we stay with them, and JK will be part of a lot of those.
We find groups that will click, and we stick with them. And I'm looking at the Basketball Reference numbers that I referenced in the crossover. This is plus minus per 100 possessions based on three-man combos. And if you look at the top plus minuses for three-man combos, you've got Steph in 6 of the 8, Draymond is in 5 of the 8, Buddy Hield is in 3 of the 8, Wiggins is in 4 of the 8, Pods is in 1, Kevon is in 1, GP2 is in 2, and Kuminga is in 1, and it's the 8th best three-man combination, and it happens to be the one with Steph and Draymond. Mm-hmm. So when Steve says what he says, you know, we look for combinations and players. I look at the three-man combos, and I know Steve does too. It's one of the things he's told us on our show. From a three-man combo standpoint, he's about the 7th best player on the team.
Well, and if he says I'm looking for game flow, I would counter with this. It seems to be the same flow every game lately. Last three games, Jonathan Kuminga has not gotten 20 minutes in any one of them. on his shooting in those three games combined is 11 for 32.
Wow.
From three-point range in those three games combined, he is 2 for 10. So, again, those are just three games, and he's averaged 10 points a game in those three games.
Yeah.
They're not going to him. They're not going to him.
And they're winning.
888-957-9570.
Yeah, 2 of 3 anyway.
What do you think? What is your scouting report on Jonathan Kuminga and his fit with the Warriors? And Ramona Shelburne of ESPN jumps into the conversation, which should be enlightening. She's tapped in, okay? So what does the league think is a really good question for her. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Oh, just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your question?
On 95.7 The Game.
All right. You know whose voice that is. That's Momo.
Momo.
So we are moments away from seeing if we can get her to give us specific names for trade rumors for the Golden State Warriors later on this year.
Let's do it.
Probably not. Probably not. But we do want to ask her about this. Steve Kerr, last night, why Kuminga has played fewer than 20 minutes in three straight games.
Just read the game, and, you know, every game's going to be different. So we've got a very deep team. As we know, we're committed to playing 12 guys every night. We just find groups that click, and we stay with them, and JK will be part of a lot of those.
Okay, joining us on the River Islands guest line, none other than Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. Hello, Ramona. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you, bud?
We're doing fantastic out here. We got some football problems, but we're pretty excited about the basketball team.
Yeah. They're better than expected, huh?
Damn right. And we're wondering, though, if it's good enough. And we know that Jonathan Kuminga is obviously at the center of that conversation. So how would you answer this? What does the league think of Jonathan Kuminga?
I think they think he's incredibly talented, and there are a lot of teams that would love to have him in their developmental system, but I'm not sure anybody really wants to commit that giant max contract to him. And so I think the Warriors have some level of leverage because he didn't sign that extension. They do control his playing time. I don't think they're trying to depress the market on him. That's not how they roll. Okay.
Right,
but they
right.
also, they're trying to win basketball games. Right. And I think with JK, like, you know, I just caught the Warriors the other night in L.A., and that was the night they basically lost to the Clippers because of turnovers and free throw shooting, and JK is one of their poor free throw shooters, and he takes a lot of free throws because he always gets to the line. He does drive into the lane a lot and gets fouled a lot. So I think some of that is, you know, clean up your turnovers, shoot better from the free throw line. I would have said at the beginning of this season that in some ways, Pajemski is a little more valuable than him because he's not right in line for that giant extension right now. He's got one more year before they have to pay him. And also his number is lower because he was a lower draft pick. But Pajemski's been in a terrible shooting slump, right? And so, I don't know, it's interesting. Both those guys have just got to earn their minutes. They've got to earn their spot in the rotation. And think about the Warriors, it's kind of fun. I've covered him for a really long time, right? And Steve Kerr always finds these guys like Lindy Waters, like, what, you know, I mean, it's he finds these guys who just know how to play basketball. They know where they're supposed to be. It's a read and react game. They make good decisions. And he plays them a lot and at the expense of lottery picks. I mean, it probably drives, you know, the front office or the ownership crazy because they take lottery, you know, they pick these guys really high in the draft. They want them to play, but whatever, he's going to play whoever is running the system the best. And if it sounds like it's going to be Lindy Waters the next little bit while Melton's out and until Pajemski finds his jump shot.
Yeah, no doubt, and he fits in many ways with that starting unit especially. And I want to ask you, Ramona, about the style, because you mentioned, you know, Jonathan Kuminga as still a developing player. Is part of the difficulty with he and Golden State that very thing with the style, and he's more of a ball-dominant guy, and he needs to be in a place where he can maybe be more just on the ball and creating on his own?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Warriors never have anyone who is all that ball dominant. The guy who probably touches the ball the most is Draymond. You know, I mean, everything else is just swing, 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 swing. You know, Clay, what was the famous Clay game where he had 37 points and dribbled 11 times, and that's a lot of why things went badly for Clay the last year, was he just over dribbled. There's Steph will dribble, but he doesn't have it very long. And so that's just not their style of play. You either play with that kind of pace or you don't play very much. And I think everybody there has just got to get that. And JK is an exceptionally talented guy. And I do think that he has taken huge steps. And I still think he's going to be a big contributor for them. But, Wiggs has done better this year. I thought he had one of his best games last night. And I thought it was because Lindy Waters took the defensive assignment on Trae Young and Wiggs could just focus more on offense. And he was their leading scorer last night. I mean, I thought, I saw him in LA just really working on his shot and really, trying to get himself into a groove again like he was a couple of years ago. And he's been good in spurts, and I think he'll have to play a bigger role until they, until offensively, I keep bringing up Podemski. I don't mean to harp on him, but he's been the guy they were counting on who just really hasn't had a good feel this year. Just second year of shooting woes, right? Putting too much pressure on himself, et cetera. And I think with JK, that job of second leading scorer next to Steph is wide open. Somebody can grab it. Is it going to be Wiggs? Is it going to be JK? Is it going to be Podemski? I mean, who is it? And I think, they're all kind of vying for it. And that's the way Steve set it up. He wants 12 guys to play every night. He wants Steph to play, what's he averaging this year? 32 minutes. That's great.
Yeah, keeping that down and keeping him healthy, obviously. Yeah, Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. So, Ramona, without getting into names, and obviously everybody knows JK and Podemski are the young assets that were talked about a lot in the offseason, but how would you handicap the current thought of, hey, these Warriors are actually good enough as constructed versus, hey, they might need to make a move at some point to really be a title contender?
I mean, I do think they probably need, they probably are one move away from, from the, being seen as a team that could challenge Boston or, who are we going to say in the West? I would have said Oklahoma City, but I think that Chet Holmgren injury is pretty intense. I mean, there's still Denver, I guess, they haven't been healthy all year and Jamal Murray's had kind of a down year so far. So I don't know, how do we talk about them? So I think they're probably one big swing away, or maybe not even a big swing, right? Maybe they just need to find someone to sort of replace what Melton was giving them. I think my sense is they're not looking for anything really big during the year. It doesn't feel like that. They tried several big swings in the off season. None of them worked out. They went with this strength in numbers approach that has done very well so far. And I think they really like what they have going. They like this team, just being around them, you can tell they have a good feel about what they're doing. And so I would expect more a replacement for Melton or maybe another big to be in there. I think they like their bigs, but you can never have, too much of that, in the Western Conference when you have to go against Jokic and guys like that.
Does their financial flexibility that they work so hard to create, does it have more power in the offseason than it probably would at the deadline?
Well, the offseason's very interesting, right? I mean, you have a couple superstars on teams that are wildly underachieving right now, and I don't think superstars usually move in the middle of the year, but there's a couple of tire fires around the league right now. You and I, we could point to them and with Milwaukee, Philly, et cetera. And then there's always Jimmy Butler who's out there and he wants an extension and, depending on how much he works out with the Heat. There's a lot of wings, that are interesting out there, but I don't see anybody moving during the season. It doesn't usually happen that way.
Ramona, what would you say about the Giannis situation as a whole?
Yeah. I don't think anything happens with him during the season. I don't think he asks out. I think they play the season out. I don't think Milwaukee does anything big this season because, they really haven't. Last year was a weird year for them. Giannis and Dame were just hurt all last year. This is the year where they're supposed to figure out whether they can find some chemistry. They've looked pretty good offensively the last, whether they won three out of four. It's not like a big win streak, but in the Eastern Conference it is. They look pretty good offensively. They still need perimeter defense. But I think in the East this year, you know, they if they can kind of get it together enough, I just don't think anything seismic happens with them. A, they have nothing to trade, you know, right now. They don't really have many assets, and while they need help in the perimeter, there's just not that much they can do. And B, like, I don't think you take as big a swing as they did with Dame and not even give it 2 full years. I don't think they do anything drastic this year.
You mentioned,
and I don't think Giannis would push anything.
Yeah, and that would be a shock if he eventually did. He's been loyal and he's won there, but he's never really given that indication. You mentioned Jimmy Butler before. Yeah. What's the level of intolerance from Miami to Jimmy and Jimmy for Miami at this hour?
I mean, I really believe Jimmy's going to have a great year this year if he's healthy. And I think he's one of those guys that you know he's always going to be in shape. You know he's always going to work hard. He's not going to, you know, blue fluid. He's not going to, you know, lower back tightness it or whatever you want to call it, right? That's not his game. He always just plays hard. And I think Miami wants to keep him. He would like to stay there. I think they eventually work something out. But and it's also, this is also me saying this based on, like, the fact that I just think the whole NBA, guys, is still figuring out what this new CBA is. And I think people, like, the Warriors are, they were light years ahead here in the way they treated it, the way they approached it, the way they handled things with Chris Paul and with Klay Thompson and structured their roster. And I think even waiting to pay JK is smart because you want to have that flexibility as long as you can in this era. And so there's just a lot of teams where, I mean, there's so many players. Like, let's just name names that you've heard in trade talks. Brandon Ingram or Zach LaVine or all these guys who make max money but maybe haven't translated into being the top player on their team. But they are worth that money. But in this NBA, in this CBA, with the way the rules have changed, it's not so much that people don't want them. It's just, do you want to extend them? Like, and you want to extend them at max money, and what does that do to your cap for years to come? You know, Trae Young in Atlanta, like, these are all interesting situations that those teams are going to have to sort through because of the way the rules have changed.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.